The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
Well, he's not here quite yet, waiting the arrival of John Schneider, Seahawks GM, President of Football Operations. This will be the second time he's missed his tremendous open. We go the painstaking route of making this tremendous open for John, and he's not here for
us. You have to scold him when he gets here. Yeah. You be on time, mister. I don't care what you got going on up there.
I don't know what kind of business you're running around here, pal. But yeah.
I don't think he's very busy these days.
He's got nothing else to do. He's up there watching Tommy Boy again.
Man. I can only imagine. I mean, this is a big life change for him, really. I mean, he's still GM, but I mean, this year it's kind of shocking all the things that he had to do. And meanwhile, you know, do what he normally does, which is, you know, work the free agency and the draft and things like that. So,
yeah.
NASA. That was a perfect touch, NASA. Whatever you just did,
he just turned the volume down just a little bit. Yeah. Just he's, you know, John's got delicate ears, so we got to make sure it's not too loud for him. And then we'll ask him about what's going on with Geno's restructuring. And again, in case you're just tuning in, that was the news that they restructured Geno's contract, converting his $9.6 million roster bonus into a signing bonus. So same money, it's just called something different, but in turn, it creates $4.8 million worth of salary cap room for 2024.
I was thinking about what Andrew Brandt said, and I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but he basically said, you know, you want to not get in trouble, right? You don't want to be to the point where it's like, okay, we don't have any space. I mean, you should have figured that out a long time ago, and I think that's kind of what the Seahawks have done. I always mention this story about Richard Sherman and how Pete, what his response was, but this was, you know, years ago, and I remember they were talking about Richard Sherman's, you know, contract being up and how good he was and all that. And, you know, and Pete said, well, we've been looking at this for like 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah.
Because this is not something that's going to, you know, surprise us. It's going to be something that, you know, we've been looking at for a really long time.
What's interesting about this move, though, is according to the story, his cap hit this season drops from 31.2 to 26.4 million. So it drops there. Problem is in 2025, his cap hit escalates to 38.5 million. So it feels like in 25, you got a tough decision to make there. I don't know if they can, what the rules are. Can they do that again? Can they keep kicking the can down the road, so to speak? Or he's only going to have 1 year left on the deal, so it's not like we can push this into the next year, because right, there is no next year. So it kind of makes 2025 a very interesting year.
Well, and you know, look, they're going to have a plan that's in process, right? It's like, yeah, they may draft somebody this year that, you know, maybe is a late round draft choice, but this is the guy that that we're going to hey buddy, how we doing? This is the guy that we're going to develop and, you know, make sure that we have an option when that time comes.
Yeah, let's get them all situated here. I was just telling Dave, this is 2 weeks in a row we got this tremendous open made for John, you know, just shining the light on your greatness, and you've missed it both times, man.
Greatness.
What are you, busy?
You guys are messing with me right now.
You got something going on? What are you up to?
It's all good.
You be here on time.
I showered for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Yeah, it's just the open is a big celebration of you, is what it is.
Okay, so I'll have to go back and listen.
Yeah, so you'll get it next week. But we were just talking about the news that just came in that you guys restructured Geno Smith's contract.
Yeah.
And it's for guys like us on the outside, we're looking at it going, okay, it was called a signing bonus, or it was a roster bonus, but now they're calling it a signing bonus.
Yeah.
He gets the same money, but now you've all of a sudden got almost $5 million more in cap space.
Yeah, it's this huge negotiation we go through. No, it's actually part of the negotiation when we do these deals, and it's just it's a trigger that's in there. It's a roster bonus that's converted to signing bonus. So a roster bonus is just a cap, like for cap purposes. You could take a roster bonus, and there's language in the contract, we convert it to a signing bonus, and then it's spread out over the duration of the contract. So that creates more capital for us.
But the player gets the same amount of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at that
it's
stuff.
It's just a signing bonus instead of a roster bonus. It's just.
You're just calling it something different.
You're calling it something different. That's why I say it's a huge negotiation.
Yeah.
So when people are kind of like, yeah, well, you know, we can, you know, we did this, you know, big, you know, negotiation to convert roster bonus to signing bonus, you know, Matt Thomas does a really nice job of working that in as an option for us throughout the process so that at any given time, if we feel the need, we can move that into signing bonus and create more capital.
Yeah, and he, tremendous help, right? I mean, that's like you would never, you wouldn't do your own taxes, right, if you're a pro football team. You wouldn't do your own salary cap. And do you ever hear people talking about and seeing, you know, oh, they have this much space, and you just shake your head like they have no idea what they're talking about. Is that typically I feel like it's the most misunderstood.
No, yeah, it is very, very much so because, you know, there's a lot of things that are in these contracts where, you know, there's escalators, there's incentives, you know, performance-based incentives, there's roster bonuses that you have to budget for and you have to account for, you know, so we can be compliant. But, you know, there's also, you know, they might hit not hit their incentives. They might hit, may not get all their per-game roster bonuses or, yeah, there's just different things, you know, throughout the way. There's budgeted items that people just don't necessarily see. How many practice squad guys are we going to elevate? Last year we budgeted for two every game because the previous season we used them all every week. So, you know, we had gone a little bit over that year. So it's like, okay, we got to be more up to speed on, you know, what we can do for the coaches and giving them the flexibility if they decide to have two practice squad guys up. So there's a lot of stuff that you have to just constantly be providing yourself answers throughout the season. And those are set up in the off season when you do the deals.
We were looking at the salary cap and looking at different guys, what their dead cap hits are, who makes the most money. It was Geno, it's Tyler, it's DK, it's Quandre, it's Jamal. They seem like the biggest earners, if you will, and the most likely targets if you were going to ask somebody to restructure. Hey, we've got to move your money around, and now we're going to call it this so that you can create more room.
Sure.
Is that how's the pecking order go?
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, I'm just saying you started with Geno. Geno's the first one. I would imagine he's not going to be the last. So how do you guys have a, like, all right, we're going to start with Geno, then we're going to talk to Tyler, then we'll talk to this guy, then we'll talk. Do you do it that
based
way,
on the player and where they are in their contract and how we set up the contract initially. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
It's basically how, you know, it's based on the player, where they are on their contract, and how we set up that contract, each contract specific to that player.
All right, so you're finishing up your staff. One guy recognized, Kennedy Pola, played college football against him.
Yeah, cool.
But tell us how that process has gone.
And yeah, we're getting done. We're talking about wearing name tags upstairs. You know, I was talking to our new assistant offensive line coach yesterday, and he played safety in college. So I'm getting names kind of confused a little bit, you know, and you know, I thought it was a safety, our new safety coach, Jeff. So I was like, Jeff, so we had that
got that cleared
awkward
up.
Awkward moment.
Yeah.
So I was telling Mike, I'm like, we're going to have to wear name tags here for a couple of days, you know, and get used to everything. But no, he's finishing up his staff. It's a really cool mix of brain power, creativeness, youth, experience, with Kennedy and, you know, obviously Leslie Frazier. And, it's cool. It's exciting. You know, it's different ideas and different philosophies all mixed together. So everybody's coming together. They're getting to a point where it's going to be all ball now. So, you know, they're just focused on implementing their system. So they're not going to be going down to the combine next week. They're all going to be here just, you know, 24/7 installing everything they need to get installed. Cause it's basically a race till April 8th when the players come in. And, you know, Mike had coached in the AFC Championship game. So, you know, there's a little bit of a feeling that, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit. So getting caught up and, but still staying true to his hiring process and the group that's come in. So, just mixing all those people together. But yeah, it's exciting, but yes, we do need name tags.
Yeah.
When you get ready for the combine, do you go down with a list of players in mind? Like, I want to see this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, or are you position groups, or how do you attack the combine? What's your do you have a priority list?
Yeah, there's specific guys that I was able to scout in the fall, and then there's guys we just got done with our college meetings. So the guys were here for about 10 days, and we were able to finish up last night and get the area guys, the scouts back home, so they have time with their families before we spend, you know, we get into next week at the combine. You know, for me personally, it's the guys that we covered in those meetings that I don't have a very good feel for yet, that wasn't able to study in the fall. So taking all my notes through the process and then knowing who I want to focus on based on what we haven't covered yet, and not necessarily getting into needs. But the combine is such a, you know, it's not just the college part, right? The first couple of days I'm there is we're there is I'm involved with a lot of like league meeting stuff, just different committees that I'm on, and then league stuff, competition committee stuff. Then we, you know, we're spending a lot of time with, you know, our own players, agents, and we basically meet with every agency, and, you know, I try to get with every team and figure out where they are. It's like this huge landscape, as we turn the corner and get ready for, the start of free agency that following weekend.
Seems like that's a lot of work. What a drag. I mean, I thought that it was there to go and have fun. Isn't it the Catalina wine mixer, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not that we don't have fun. You know, we're up pretty late, and it's a good time.
I always think of the combine of like that's where you make a lot of these connections. Like, you know, you were saying how you and Mike McDonald know a lot of the same people.
Sure.
I feel like that's where a lot of that gets done. And even the story like Trent Kirchner standing outside handing people his resume and, you know, getting a start. I think you were
borrowing Mark Trestman's pass. Mark Trestman gave him his pass to get in the RCA Dome at the time to come and find me, and I was like, I'm never hiring this stalker.
Yeah,
this guy came and said, "Are you job?"
Like, yeah,
you know, whatever. 20 years later, or whatever, 18 years later, or something. So,
but that's where those kind of connections
are
made, right?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people, you know, introducing people to younger coaches or guys that are coaching in Division III or Division II that are, you know, looking to get in and make those connections, or a lot of, you know, college students, younger people that, you know, want to have a opportunity in this industry, and, you know, just trying to, like, the one-offs, they you know, kind of grab you in the halls, and, you know, you have conversations with them and stuff like that. So I'd love to take you guys sometime. It's a wild ride, you know. Wow. It's a long week. It really is. It'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fun for you to sit in the interview interview meetings. If it's 15 minutes of like,
I think Bob would ask too many questions.
I'd shut up. I swear. Yeah. We've talked about that a million times. Like, wouldn't it be fun just to sit in the back of the room when they're doing the draft, just to hear the back and forth, or the interviews with the coaches or interviews with players, just to watch, because we all, you know, we from the outside speculate this is probably how it goes down, just to see how close.
Our guys do a great job with the interviews. You know, Matt Berry and Aaron Heinlein and Trent and those guys do a great job with the, because we record all of them, right? And so, you know, we're constantly going back and looking at the ones that we do in the room, and there's a canned one that Mo Kelly actually does that for the National Football League. So they just ask all the standard questions, and so you can kind of compare those, and then we compare those interviews with the laptop interviews we do at the All-Star games with guys, and then the Zoom interviews that the coaches will do in the spring. And so, yeah, it'll be fun for the coaches to get caught up on the personnel side as they get all their football stuff done first.
So you got your coaches done, you're prepped and ready for Indy to go to the combine. Then you've got two other big things, which is NFL free agency period of time, and then you've got the draft. But what's sort of your preparation? Are you back to because you had so much more on your plate this year?
We're getting there. Yeah, I feel like we're getting there. Where, you know, feeling like after getting through the college meetings, feeling like we're getting a little bit more caught up on. The guys did a great job again. Trent and Matt Berry and Aaron in those meetings. You know, just we really streamlined it. We moved at a good pace. You know, I was thinking, like, I felt so far behind that we would go slower, you know, but I know what I have to study yet to get caught up. Yeah. So that they did a good job of helping us through that. But, yeah, just, you know, getting ready for, you know, to go down there and to the combine and listen and learn as much as we can and communicate with as many people as we can. And then, you know, we have a plan, you know, our personnel staff, the organization, what we're looking at, what our team looks like personnel wise and how we move into the future here, how we come around this corner in the 2024 season. But, you know, we still have to, you know, get the coaches, you know, onboarded and established here and have them, you know, get their input on where we're headed and make sure we're all on the same page. So, you know, I view that process happening, you know, after we get a lot of answers at the combine in terms of meeting with, you know, other teams and all the other, you know, agents for you know, all unrestricted guys, and you know, obviously our own unrestricted guys.
We, Dave and I were talking about that, kind of going through the list of, well, this guy's a free agent, this guy's a free agent, you know, just a big long list.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, who do you have to have back? Who do you feel like you can part with? And he made the very obvious point. Well, you got to field a team. So yeah. You need some of these guys back.
Yeah.
But do you let them know at the end of the season, or the reps know, like, hey, we want so-and-so back? Because they're going to, I'm sure, go test the
market. I have individual meetings with all the unrestricted guys. When they leave, I meet with every one of them and tell them, like, what it's going to look like. You know, this year was obviously a little different because I met with all of them on Monday, and then we went through the situation with Pete on, you know, like Monday afternoon and Tuesday and Wednesday. But, yeah, they all know, you know, where they stand. Obviously, you know, everybody wants to know. Have answers, and we just can't give everybody answers right now because, you know, we're working through a process of, you know, again, a new staff, new systems, and then understanding what the league's going to look like here. And again, we always feel like we have a better feel for what's going on once we get through the combine week.
How would you portray your relationships with the agents? I'm sure, like, I had Marvin Demoff, who I feel like everybody loved him. And I think the reason was is because, like, the GMs.
Until he kicked your ass, yeah. Then.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he knew what he was doing, and he wasn't asking for ever anything that was too ridiculous, theoretically.
Not in your mind.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, as far as those relate, that's a lot of different relationships that you have to have with those people. How is your how you treat them? How has that developed over the years? Have you come to appreciate them? Or
yeah, you know, honestly, I was really, really blessed to when I started out working with Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf, and they really kind of like gave me the keys to run with that stuff because they were so into going out on the road and going to the school calls and you know, not necessarily being all in on, like, you know, setting up workouts and setting up free agent visits and all that kind of stuff. So at a very young age, I was, you know, able to meet, you know, and talk to those gentlemen on the phone. And I mean, they didn't have to know, I was like a 22-year-old punk, right? Like, you know, and so I established relationships with those guys over the years. But I think just that, like, you know, as clear and concise and honest as you could possibly be with people, like, anything you're doing, then you're going to have, you know, a good relationship. And, you know, there's times that obviously you have to understand the different personalities and how somebody's coming at you, and whether that's a negotiation or they're setting up their player they're trying to get answers for their players, you know, and that's their job. You just have to understand what, you know, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and understand that's their job to do. Well, that's right. Marvin was like, you know, he's like one of the godfathers, right? I mean, amazing. You know, every time I talked to him on the phone, I would get nervous because we'd be like, oh, I'm going to do something wrong. My boss is going to be mad at me. You know, I'm going to give away $100,000 or something. You know what I mean? I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I was, you know, and then like Tom Condon and you know, Jimmy Sexton represented Reggie White. And so I was just able to like establish relationships with the guys over the years. And then you understand also when guys truly are looking out for their players, but they also understand that you're doing what's best for the organization, that you're trying to build like a world-class organization, trying to build world-class rosters. And it's not just about, they understand that you're not just all about just rewarding their player. They understand that the good ones understand that you have to try to reward as many people as you possibly can while, you know, creating a championship team. And not just, you know, it's not just all about their player. Now, the guys that don't understand that are the guys where you run into tough negotiations, tough conversations.
Yeah.
How tough is it when you, and I'm guessing you've had to do this in the past, you talked about Geno's contract as one that had it already written in. So it wasn't really a big negotiation. But I assume you have to go up to players at some point and go, hey, your cap hit is this. We're in this position. We're going to have to make an adjustment. We're going to restructure. How tough is that conversation?
Yeah.
Maybe they're getting less. Or
yeah,
maybe they have to earn it as some incentive now or something like that.
Yeah, reworking is different than, you know, just deciding, right? So, you know, there was a couple. I mean, our first ones were really like, you know, the tough ones were really, I think TJ Houshmandzadeh was one right away. That was really tough because we didn't know him very well. We had a lot of respect for the player. You know, obviously Chris Clemens and Red Bryant, those really hurt. That was really hard. And then there's, you know, along the way, you know, you just keep going to them. Sure. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. It's never, ever, ever easy. It's like the, everybody's like, well, it's business. Yeah, it is business. But the way we treat people here, it becomes personal, and it's hard to just push through that or brush it off as just business.
It was the guy you yelled at, and then Ben had to scold you for inappropriate behavior. Yeah, we won't mention
it. It's funny you say that. Yeah, we can't. Your language is completely inappropriate, Dad.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because he's coming down here to say hi to a couple of people that's at right now. So
Ben?
Yeah, he might be on. Nice. He might be listening right now. So, yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Hi,
yeah.
Ben.
Your language is completely inappropriate, Dad.
What about dealing with a player who they're their own agent? That's, I mean, I know Bobby was his own
agent.
Yeah,
we're the model for that, I guess, you know.
Do you dread that?
Russell Okung, Sherm, Bobby. Yeah, those are never fun. I mean, it's hard enough to have the conversation with an agent, right?
Right.
You know, and then to, you know, be talking to somebody directly. And we've all been through negotiations. We all know what our value feels like. And then
somebody tells you it's not.
You get that first offer. You're like, wait a second, I thought we were in the trust tree. Yeah. I thought we, you know.
We're going to go have a good dinner.
I thought we all liked each other a lot. Well, we do, to a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, that's never, yeah, that's not. That's,
but is that becoming more fun. Prevalent? More players are representing themselves these days?
I don't know. I don't know that. I know guys that, you know, like, you know, Bobby's, you know, those guys want, and Richard, those guys, you know, strong businessmen. They wanted to do their own thing. I get it. You know, they had been through, I'm not sure, you know, how many agents Richard had, or I think Bobby may have had. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Yeah. But it's just, yeah, it just makes it, you know, the thing with Richard was that I had had a relationship with him over the years. We had had tons of those, like, direct conversations, you know, and so, you know, it was just kind of, I won't say easier, but, you know, it was like, I get it. We can have those kind of conversations.
Yeah, that I was always told you don't want to be in those negotiations. Now, I know you probably tone it down a little bit when you're talking directly to the player, yeah. Of course, right? But
yeah.
I don't know. I felt like a lot of that was done because of their pride, that they want everybody to know, hey, I'm also a businessman. I'm not just a football player.
Right.
Some of that.
No, totally. And I get that. But to your point about the agents, I mean, you, just like the agents have to, you know, study the organizations, how different organizations work, we have to study the agent and understand where he's coming from. We had a guy that, you know, famous player that, you know, several years, like just first couple of years we were here, was like, yeah, you know, such team's going to pay him, you know, like $6 more million than we were, you know, budgeted for or willing to go to based on the rest of the team. And I was like, oh, and I knew that this specific agent, you know, could, you know, would over the years could BS you a little bit, right? So he's going to start here and then come to you here, right? And so I was like, oh man, congratulations, that's awesome, good for him, holy cow! And then, you know, then we kind of circled back to some of his other clients in the meeting, and he's like, well, getting back to player A, you're just going to
let him
go to that other team? And I was like, well, we can't get close to that. I'm happy for him if he's going to make that kind of money for him and his family. I mean,
that's big.
That's generational wealth. I get it.
I said, good job.
Yeah, I get it, you know. So you have to have, like, those different strategies with people and knowing that, you know, some guys are just going to shoot for the moon, and then you just know it's going to be a process, and it's going to be time, and you just got to work through it.
When I went to Denver, Tom Flores, he saw what they, you know, what they were going to pay me. And he's like, I think that's a lot of money for David.
That makes you feel good.
That wasn't really a compliment. No. He didn't mean to stick it to me.
No,
it
was just, but having coaches involved is always like that always gets really awkward too. Yeah. So it's good to have that clear delineation.
But before we let you go, do you have a date in mind? Like we have to be at this number salary cap wise by this date. Like, is it before the draft? Is it at by the end of the combine? Do you have a target at all financially and date-wise?
Yeah, I think once we come around the corner, like I'd say, you know, as we get towards camp, if we still have budgeted cash available to still like extend some guys, and we feel like we've addressed specific needs in free agency and or the draft, or feel good about certain positions with it from a depth standpoint, that we can still try to extend guys that, you know, may have just 1 year left on their contract. That's kind of when you feel like, okay, you start feeling like, okay, we want to be able in this area. But yeah, not pre-draft. No, that's way too early. It's more about like, okay, vision and what, when I say coming around the corner, it's like, what's, we're coming into the season, you know, have we addressed, because what happens where you get into trouble with free agency is when you see certain deficiencies in your team and you just go out and you're like, okay, we got to fix this and we have to fix that. And then you end up, you can end up putting yourself in a bad spot from a salary cap standpoint, because you're trying to, like balance your team and you can like overpay to a certain extent at that time, mm-hmm. instead of being patient and just waiting to see, you know, who may pop out from another team as a cap casualty guy, or, you know, maybe somebody's available in a trade because now another team signs somebody else. Just having that flexibility. Sorry, wrapping back to that point, to coming around in the corner when the June 1st guys come around, or the middle of July when, you know, you're like, okay, where are we? You know, can we still, are there still guys out there in free agency that we want to add, and or are there guys that we can extend on our team?
Gotcha.
Somebody asked if you're out in your backyard watering the guard tree. You know, you would say that, I'll just go pick one off the guard tree.
The offensive line tree,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Growing them there, that's great.
I thought you guys were going to Arizona. Aren't you doing the baseball thing?
We're going in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Nice. March 11th, we'll be there.
Yeah.
You should come with
love
us.
Love to call you. Yeah, come on down.
It'll be fabulous.
Come hang out with us.
You don't have anything to do.
Yeah. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, awesome.
We'll talk again next week.
Sounds great. We'll be at the Indy Combine, and we'll be talking from the Combine.
Love it.
Cool. And you guys should come sometime. It'll be great.
We would love to. There you go. Awesome. President of Football Operations and General Manager John Schneider with us on the John Schneider Show.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon 2 to 7.